Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Andrew's students report back to class by Ruth Campbell, R-C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L at OAOA.com. Andrew's. With most of its students returning to class at the start of the year, Andrews ISD recently decided to suspend its remote learning program and bring everyone back in person. Andrews has 4,042 students, which has fluctuated this fall. At the beginning of the year, Superintendent Bobby Azam said more than 75% on average of students were coming to school for face-to-face learning and 25% were remote. "We monitored it," Azam said. "Our teachers worked hard. Our teachers did fantastic as far as trying to, on the remote side, keep students engaged, keep them involved, have them check in, all those kinds of things. But we saw for the first 6 weeks that it was difficult. Remote instruction is good, but it's not as good as face-to-face with the teacher being able to monitor work with the kids on a personal basis. So we knew that we were needing to do something. We also were monitoring our cases on the COVID side. Our student numbers, and even at the time, the faculty numbers were very low, so things were going pretty well on that note," Azam said. Meanwhile, the district was dealing with the normal strep throat and flu outbreaks. "Those things were hitting us worse than the actual COVID cases were. By the middle of the second 6 weeks, by that three-week mark, we reviewed it again and saw that there were kids that were still struggling a little bit, so they decided to bring all the students back and do it as safely as they could. A letter was sent out to parents several weeks in advance saying they were going to in-person learning. Many families at the start of the year were waiting to see how things looked COVID-wise before sending their students back to campus. If parents chose to educate their children at home, the district could set them up with programs from the Texas Education Agency, Texas Tech University, and other online kindergarten through 12th grade programs. We had good response. We have just about all of our kids back. There were a few that decided to stay out," Azam said. "The majority of the ones who stayed home had extended family living with them, so they were worried about going to school and coming back home. When students went remote, Azam said they were penciled into a class on the regular schedule. There was also a concern about seniors and some juniors who might need to recover credits. Because of the short time frame for those students, the high school contacted those seniors with several weeks lead time so those students could get caught up. Although enrollment is down a little, Azam said the district budgeted for 4,000 students because you never know in the oil patch. He added that it goes without saying that 2020 has been interesting in the school world and everywhere else. Our philosophy here has been A, you have to do it safely. B, we want to be good stewards of our people and our money. But at the same time, we want to try to get some form of normal, whatever that can look like, as soon as we can," Azam said. "Our extracurricular activities have all taken place. We've been very fortunate that we've not had to cancel any of those due to any major outbreaks. We've done the normal cleaning. People have been pretty diligent to do their best and keep us going. If he'd brought all the students back after having no one on campus, Azam said he might be apprehensive, but most had transitioned back to school. We always are concerned and worried in a positive way. We always try to be vigilant. With those kids coming back in, we've tried to do more and clean more, but scared or afraid, no, we've been running pretty full the whole time, and what we're doing's working. Elementary students are not required to wear masks, but the parents can decide if they want their child to do so. Teachers and students at the middle and high schools have to wear masks. Students are allowed to take breaks from wearing a mask, and they don't wear them when they eat. We try to use some common sense as long as we can be safe," Azam said. Azam said, it's working out so far. Everybody right now is kind of seeing an increase, but for us, it's really not a student increase. We've had a little bit of an increase with faculty, but it's not been huge, he said. AISD has 600 employees, including 300 teachers and 75 aides. The week of November 2nd, Azam said, 9 were quarantined. People who test positive for COVID-19 are automatically quarantined, and that CDC guidelines are followed. If they test negative, it's up to the employee whether they come back, but the district is not mandating that they quarantine. If a child has close contact with someone with COVID, Azam said parents can decide whether to send their child to school. Some parents may decide to keep their child home in that instance. In the elementary campuses, AISD has tried to keep a ratio of 18 or 19 students to one teacher. The state law is 22 to 1. They keep students spread out at least 3 or 4 feet. TEA guidelines say 6 feet when feasible. We are limited, especially in the cafeteria. When you want the kids to have a lunch period, you're putting several hundred in there at a time. It's difficult to spread out, but we've done like everybody does. We've gone to the throwaway trays, silverware that's plastic in the wrapper, Azam said. In the classroom, we've tried to spread out. We've had some teachers who stand up and use their smart boards, so some of the teachers even put up a plexiglass barrier, a lot like what you'll see at stores. We did purchase these electrostatic sprayers. We bought those in the summer. We hired a company to come in the summer to give a massive spray of everything first. We bought the machines and trained our people to come in and use them every 3 months, he said. Azam said, it's been challenging, but with great people, it's been pretty smooth. You know, it's getting back to normal when we stopped having some of the medical calls and concerns, and it got back to normal school concerns. But the breaks will be good. We'll come in at Thanksgiving and Christmas and just wipe out everything, clean it all up again, and kind of get going, Azam said. At andrews.esc18.net. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Editor's note. Ector County will not be able to update the COVID-19 dashboard this week due to limited data entry staff. ECISD daily cases, 20 students, 8 staff. Midland County, 6,576 confirmed, 121 deaths. Texas, 1,048,383 confirmed, with 9,522,343 tested. Total Texas deaths, 19,883. U.S. cases, 11,300,635 total confirmed, and 247,834 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/tztrjlf. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/y6nttuq. Quick hits. Toys for Tots. Fathead Meats, 8200 East Highway 191, has scheduled a Toys for Tots toy drive from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. December 12th. To place your order or for more information, call Junior Hernandez at 432-215-5679 or Rory Couch at 432-438-7735. Email fatheadmeats@gmail.com or visit www.fatheadmeatsbarbecue.com. Christmas Tree Market, the Parks Legato Town Center, 7260 East Highway 191, has scheduled its third annual Christmas Tree Market from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Friday and December 4th, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday, November 27th, 28th, from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday and November 29th, and from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. December 5th. There will be fresh-cut Christmas trees from Wisconsin, handmade decorated wreaths, garland from Minnesota, Christmas lights, and hot chocolate. The vendor market, Santa Claus, and carriage train rides will take place from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. on November 21st and 28th. To pre-order for more details, visit parkslegato.com. Survivor of Suicide Lost Day, the Permian Basin Out of the Darkness Walk has scheduled International Survivor of Suicide Lost Day from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday at the Copper Rose Building, 415 North Grant Avenue. International Survivors of Suicide Loss Day is an event in which survivors of suicide loss come together to find connection, understanding, and hope through their shared experience. Non-loss survivors may also register to attend. Registration is required for in-person attendance, as lunch will be served and to allow for social distancing. To register or for more information, visit isosld.afsp.org/Permian-Basin, Texas. Thanksgiving Special. The Arts Council of Midland has scheduled a Thanksgiving special Saturday at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North Farm Road, 1788, Midland. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. The special starts at 6:30 p.m. For tickets or information, visit www.wagnernoel.com. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, November 19th, 2020. Page 2, read. Hamilton Music Director on FB Live. OA News at OAOA.com. Ian Weinberger, musical director of Hamilton on Broadway, will appear in a live stream event on the Odessa College Facebook page from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. tonight. During the first hour, Weinberger will describe his personal journey and discuss what a musical director does on Broadway. OC students and community members will have an opportunity to ask questions and to interact with the director during the program's final 30 minutes. Weinberger's other Broadway credits include Freestyle Love Supreme, The Book of Mormon, Kinky Boots, New York, A New Brain, Titanic, Lincoln Center, and Nobody Loves You. Among his additional new works are The Secret of My Success, Paramount Theater, Titanic, Hangar Theater, Austin's Pride, Finger Lakes Musical Theater Festival. His arrangements and orchestrations of Titanic and Disney's Moana Jr. have been heard in productions around the world. Further credits include Broadway, Off-Broadway orchestras, Rocky, Sideshow, Chaplin, Little Miss Sunshine, Death Takes a Holiday, cast albums, A New Brain, The Theory of Relativity, and TV, Foss Verdon, Peter Pan Live, The Sound of Music Live. Weinberger is a graduate of Northwestern University, where he studied percussion performance and music education. Hometown Heroes Breakfast. St. John's Episcopal School recently treated the Odessa Police Department to a drive-through Hometown Heroes Breakfast. They also presented handmade cards for the first responders. Courtesy photos. OC Professor Steve Goff nominated for Texas State Artist. OA News at OAOA.com. Odessa College Professor of Photography Steve Goff has been nominated as a potential candidate for Texas State Artist State Artist 2D. Goff's official notification from the Director of Communications for the Texas Commission on the Arts, Anina Moore, said, "This designation is the highest designation that the Texas legislature gives in the arts. Texas state artists serve one-year terms and represent the state's artistic legacy." In response to his nomination, Professor Goff said, "It is quite an honor, especially in 2020, to be recognized by the people who know and support the arts in Texas and to be nominated as a candidate for the Texas State Artist. I am grateful for the opportunity to encourage interest in the arts across the state of Texas." Pieces from four selected projects were submitted with Goff's nomination and can be viewed at http://stevegoffart.com. Goff, who has taught photography at OC since 1984, received a Bachelor of Fine Arts and a Master of Fine Arts from Ohio University in Athens, Ohio. On the net, stevegoffart.com. School Nutrition offering Thanksgiving meals. OA News at oaoa.com. The Ector County ISD School Nutrition Department will be providing meals for the week of Thanksgiving on Friday. They will open George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa and Crockett and Nimitz Middle Schools from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. to serve all virtual learners and include children who normally attend class in person. The department will be providing 7 breakfasts and 7 lunch meals for any child between the ages of 1 and 18. If you are a parent or guardian picking up meals for your children without them present, one of the following will be required: official letter, email from school listing children enrolled at the campus, student ID number, student ID cards, individual student report cards, attendance record from parent portal of the school website, birth certificate. On the net, tinyurl.com/y3d5cm68. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, November 19th, 2020, local and state. Landgraf again calls for cancellation of STAR. OA News at oaoa.com. Austin. State Representative Brooks Landgraf, R. Odessa, has joined numerous members of the Texas House of Representatives in submitting a letter to Texas Education Agency Commissioner Mike Morath calling for a suspension of STAR testing during the current school year. "I'm thankful so many of my colleagues in the Texas House agree that administering the STAR test this school year is a bad idea," Landgraf said in a news release. "It is abundantly clear that COVID-19 has presented our educators, our students, and their families with unique obstacles that have completely changed the dynamics of the school year, and our state's policy must reflect this reality in our schools." Earlier this year, Morath obtained waivers from the U.S. Department of Education to waive statewide assessment and accountability requirements for the 2019-2020 school years because of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. States are required to assess student and teacher progress annually in order to draw down federal dollars for public education funding unless waivers are granted by the federal government. If COVID-19 was the reason to cancel the STAR test for the 2019-20 school year, then there should be no question about whether or not to cancel the test for the 2021 school year, Landgraf added in the release. "As I've said before, I am adamantly opposed to testing for the sake of testing, and that is exactly what will occur if the STAR is not canceled again." Local news roundup. Man arrested, booked into jail in connection to fatal shooting. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths confirmed via text message that a 20-year-old man has been arrested after he was reportedly involved in a fatal shooting that happened earlier this month in West Odessa. John Anthony Sanchez was charged with murder, a first-degree felony. Sanchez was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center at 1:31 p.m. Wednesday, jail records show. Bond hasn't been set as of Wednesday afternoon. The fatal shooting happened around 1 a.m. November 1st in the 14,000 block of West Stagecoach Drive, an Ector County Sheriff's Office press release stated. Alec Del Bosque, 18, was the man who was fatally shot. In a previous Odessa American article, Griffiths detailed that there was a party in the 14,000 block of West Stagecoach Drive. Griffiths continued to say that two individuals, Sanchez and Del Bosque, got into a confrontation that led to Del Bosque being shot and killed. MCH reports 111th COVID-19-related death. Medical Center Health System is reporting its 111th COVID-19-related death. The patient, a 73-year-old male, died early Wednesday afternoon. The patient was a resident of Odessa and was admitted to Medical Center Hospital on November 1st. The patient had pre-existing conditions. The family has been notified. OA News at OAOA.com. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, November 19th, 2020. Opinion. Texas View. COVID-19 will keep surging unless we act. The Point. Let's get through this winter together by wearing masks, social distancing, and avoiding large gatherings. COVID-19 patients in El Paso are dying in such numbers that officials just brought in their fourth refrigerated morgue trailer to hold the bodies. Two Del Valle schools have closed to in-person classes until the end of the month, while officials say Austin area hospitals could need about 130 additional ICU beds within the next 3 weeks to handle the spike in patients. Experts are begging Central Texans to celebrate Thanksgiving only with members of their own households. This is where we are. The first state to top 1 million coronavirus cases since the pandemic began. A COVID death toll of more than 19,000 Texans. Enough people to fill the AT&T Center where the San Antonio Spurs play. Turning things around is imperative. Experts have warned for months that this winter could bring the worst of the coronavirus pandemic, and still, Texas is headed in the wrong direction. COVID fatigue runs thick, and our state leaders have failed for months to provide the clear, science-driven leadership this crisis demands. But there are critical actions we can all take to help curb the spread. Wear a mask. Practice social distancing. Avoid group gatherings. We recognize Texans are tiring of these measures and the strain of a sequestered existence. But your health, even your life, or the life of a family member or someone you know, could depend on such efforts over the next few months until a vaccine becomes widely available. A CDC analysis last week confirmed that widespread use of masks leads to a significant drop of new COVID cases in a community. Keeping cases low allows schools and businesses to remain open, keeping our economy going. The CDC pointed to an economic analysis that found increased use of masks nationwide could prevent the need for lockdowns and reduce associated losses of up to $1 trillion, or about 5% of gross domestic product. To his credit, Governor Greg Abbott has kept a statewide mask mandate in place since July, albeit after giving inscrutably mixed messages on this common sense precaution that has become needlessly politicized. Distressingly, our state and local governments remain at cross purposes in confronting COVID-19. While Abbott continues to send medical personnel and equipment to help with the crush of coronavirus cases in El Paso, Attorney General Ken Paxton is in court, fighting that county's temporary shutdown of non-essential businesses. a local order signifying a desperate attempt to rein in this virus. Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo has warned that rising cases could lead to shutdowns elsewhere. We're stuck in a vicious cycle of wishful thinking and unsustainable reopenings, she told reporters last week. None of us wants another lockdown. That's why we must step up our efforts to contain the virus in other ways. Masks, social distancing, avoiding gatherings to prevent the need for more extreme measures. Keeping the economy open is important, but the costs of this pandemic go beyond lost revenue. Hospitals in Central Texas and communities across the state once again are filling up with people who are struggling to breathe, who may die if their bodies can't get enough oxygen. Their pain, their medical bills, their lost time with their families, their lost time at work, all these costs could have been avoided if we all worked harder to contain the virus. The pandemic is also taking a fierce toll on nurses, doctors, and other healthcare workers who spend exhausting shifts caring for never-ending waves of COVID patients. They relay stories of extremely sick patients who say they wish they had taken better precautions. Some of them confess they're reaching their breaking point. All of us have the power to ease their burden by taking steps to contain this virus. Sounding the alarm on the nation's ability to handle the pandemic through the fall and winter months, Dr. Anthony Fauci recently warned, "You could not possibly be positioned more poorly." Certainly that's the case today in Texas, which last week topped 10,000 new cases a day, the first time that's happened since July. A serious national strategy is a good 2 months away with the inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden. The Texas path, marked by high hopes and half measures, has failed to protect our state. It's up to us as individuals to help prevent more outbreaks through our everyday actions. Wear a mask. Use social distancing. Avoid large gatherings. Let's get through this winter together. Austin, American Statesman. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, November 19th, 2020. Obituaries. Roy Virgil Barner, Odessa. Roy Virgil Barner, age 92, went to be with his Lord on Sunday, November 15th, 2020. He was born on Thursday, July 14th, 1928, in Hamilton, Texas, to James Gilder and Cordelius May Barner. He was one of 10 children. Roy went to work as a young child and worked hard his whole life, eventually retiring from CertainTeed Corporation after 37 years. Roy is preceded in death by his beloved wife, Genevia May, brothers David, Bert, Bill, and Shorty, sister Janie, daughter Gail Serta, and sons Dean and Doug Mathis. He is survived by his sisters, Jackie Voglino and Jesse Wycliffe, brothers Pete and Harold Barner, daughters Peggy Mathis, Brenda Clark, and Joyce Adams, son Roy Barner and his wife Courtney, and daughter-in-law Pam Mathis. He also has 21 grandchildren and numerous great and great-great-grandchildren. Visitation will be held from noon to 5 p.m. Thursday, November 19th, 2020, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Graveside services will be held at 1 p.m. Friday, November 20th, 2020, at Greenleaf Cemetery in Brownwood, Texas. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. William Glenn, Bill or Billy Fulgham, Midland, November 10th, 2020. William Glenn Fulgham, F-U-L-G-H-A-M, Bill or Billy, loving husband and father of two children, passed away at the age of 72. Bill was born on July 15th, 1948, in Ardmore, Oklahoma, to Silas W. Fulgham, Jr., Big Bill, and Hazel M. Fulgham. Bill received his diploma in 1972 from the University of Texas at Arlington with a bachelor's degree in business administration. Bill went to work at the Midland Reporter-Telegram, where he met his wife of 47 years, Donna Ann Davis Fulgham. They were married on April 20, 1973. They enjoyed travel and spending time with friends and family. G-Dad and Nanny loved the grandchildren. Billy, G-Dad, is preceded in death by his father, Bill, his mother, Hazel, his in-laws, Don and Ike Davis, and his granddaughter, Madison Childers Markle. He is survived by his wife, Donna, his two children, James Childers and Candace Fain, Jared, his sisters, Jan Acker, Les, and Karen Kroom, his sisters-in-law, Michael Delgado, Frank, Mehdi Suku, Marat, his stepmother-in-law, Darlene Davis, his grandchildren, Bailey Childers, Dylan Fain, Devin Fain, and Sidney Fain, and great-grandson Warren Markle, and several cousins, nieces, and nephews. Visitation will be held at the branch at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m., followed by a graveside service at 3 p.m. Thursday, November 19, 2020, at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Rather than flowers, we ask for stories and photos. Donations are accepted for expenses. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. John Ed May, Odessa. John Ed May passed from this earthly life into the arms of his Heavenly Father, November 16, 2020, at the age of 89 years. John was born July 30, 1931, to Samuel English May and Cora Rector May in rural Texas, where he was raised with his older siblings, Louis May, Wilburn May, and Joyce May Bond. John had a successful high school career as he made all-district in football as Sticky Fingers because he never dropped a pass. He served as class president each year and was named Girls Basketball Sweetheart. At 16 years old, John enrolled in Texas A&M University, where he played second base and shortstop for the baseball team and was a member of the Corps. After graduating in 1952 with a degree in animal husbandry, he joined the United States Army, where he qualified to be a forward observer and served in Korea. John then moved to Lubbock, Texas, where he received his master's degree from Texas Tech and his Smith Hughes Ag Ed while working as beef manager at Armour. Teaching was his desire and calling. He and Berna McMinn May, his wife of over 60 years, moved to Post, Texas, where he taught biology and math. LaRue May Thomas, his daughter, started first grade while Berna enrolled at Texas Tech University, where she studied music. LaRue would say, "We are all in school." John loved the military and continued his career as a reservist. He served as Commander of Command and General Staff School at the facility located at the Midland-Odessa Airport until his retirement as Lieutenant Colonel in 1980, serving a total of 28 years. In 1966, the family moved to Odessa, where John taught physics and advanced science at Ector High School. The Permian High School principal requested that John come to his school to teach biology. John became head of the science department. He went on to receive a master's in genetics from Duke University and organized classes in genetics at Permian. John was voted Teacher of the Year by ECISD teachers in 1983. He retired from teaching chemistry in 1982. His final teaching career was instructor of anatomy and physiology and biology at Odessa College. John's first love was God. John served on all committees at First Baptist Church as chairman. He taught the same men in Sunday school for 31 years as they would not promote to the next age group. John was civic-minded and served in the Gideons Lions Club, where he was president twice, hospital auxiliary, served 20 years, and volunteered to tutor high school students. John loved basketball, football, handball, bowling, and bridge. He could not be beaten at bridge. John loved traveling. He and Berna traveled extensively throughout the United States and abroad. The legend of John's life could not be complete without expressing the dedication and love to his family. His family came first. He was totally dedicated to all family members. His wife, daughter, grandchildren, and great-grandsons were the highlight of his life. He will be greatly missed. Visitation will be on Wednesday, November 18th, 2020, at Frank W. Wilson Funeral Directors from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Funeral services will be on Thursday, November 19th, 2020. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Park. Roberta Hurt, Midland. Roberta Hurt of Midland passed away on November 14th, 2020, at the age of 100. She was born in Ponca City, Oklahoma on March 1st, 1920, and was raised in her beloved hometown of Wacomas, Oklahoma. After several years of college at Oklahoma State University, she proudly served her country as a civil service secretary in Washington, D.C., and Vance Air Base in Enid, Oklahoma, not far from home. She met the love of her life, Roger, there, and they celebrated 62 years of a wonderful life together before his death in 2008. Roberta and Roger raised three children, mainly in Midland, but his work with Furs Supermarkets took them all over West Texas and eastern New Mexico. Roberta loved her work in the church, being a loving wife to Roger, and being involved in the activities of her kids. She very much enjoyed playing cards with friends and family and was an ardent fan of many sports, which included rooting for her husband and sons in various golf tournaments. She very much enjoyed her work for Midland County as the district court coordinator and helped several judges and many Midlanders in the planning of jury duties. In everything she did, she carried herself with elegance and grace. She was preceded in death by her wonderful and loving parents, Roy and Pearl Grable, sister Cecil Grable, and husband Roger. She is survived by her three children, Betsy Cannon and husband Laurie, Greg Hurt and wife Liz, Rodney Hurt and wife Debbie, 10 grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren. Sincere thanks go to Manor Park and the great people who cared for Roberta in her time there. They are fighting many battles against the coronavirus pandemic as they provide loving care to the residents. They were so kind and patient in their service to Roberta for many years. Memorials may be directed to Manor Park or First Christian Church of Midland. No public services are scheduled. Arrangements are under the direction of Ellis Funeral Home, 801 Andrews Highway, Midland, Texas. Death notices. Maria de la Luz Torres, Odessa. Maria de la Luz Torres, 86, of Odessa, died Monday, November 9th, 2020, in Odessa, Texas. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Thursday, November 19th, 2020, at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Burial to follow at Ector County Cemetery, the Los Angeles section. Father Tony Franco is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Wayne C. Boring, Odessa. Wayne C. Boring, 85, died Tuesday, November 17th, 2020, in Odessa. Services are pending with Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Jonathan Scott Shotgun Daniels, Odessa. Jonathan Scott Shotgun Daniels, 22, of Odessa, died Sunday, November 15th, 2020, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Tuesday, November 24th, 2020, at Acres West 24-Hour Funeral Chapel. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens, Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Roberto Gomez, Midland. Roberto Gomez, 72, of Midland, died Thursday, November 12th, 2020, in Midland. Memorial service is scheduled for 9 a.m., November 28th, 2020, in St. Anne's Catholic Church in Midland. Rosary will be recited at 7:30 p.m., Friday, November 27th, 2020, at St. Anne's Catholic Church in Midland. Arrangements are by Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Tommy Jacob McCandless, Midland. Tommy Jacob McCandless, McCandless, 32, died Tuesday, November 17th, 2020, in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Ruby Lee Williams Sanders, Odessa. Ruby Lee Williams Sanders, 88, of Odessa, died Friday, November 6th, 2020, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Friday, November 20th, 2020, at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Pastor Lovelady is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Carl DeWin Streisner, Odessa. Carl DeWin Streisner, 78, of Odessa, died Sunday, November 15th, 2020, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m., November 20th, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Pastor Claudel Chapman is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Monday, November 16th, 2020. This article is entitled, OPEC Plus Gets Scant Relief from Vaccine as It Meets to Discuss Cuts, by Grant Smith, Salma L. Wardenay, and Javier Blas, Bloomberg. Oil markets may be cheering the prospects of a coronavirus vaccine, but OPEC Plus can't celebrate. Crude prices have rallied to a 10-week high on hopes that Pfizer Inc. and BioNTech SE's breakthrough could soon revive the flights, car journeys, and other economic activity that underpin fuel consumption. Nonetheless, the alliance of producers led by Saudi Arabia and Russia is discussing a delay of the supply boost they'd hoped to make in January. Oil demand is currently suffering a fresh blow from a resurgence of the pandemic. Ministers are focused on a postponement of 3 to 6 months, according to delegates familiar with talks who ask not to be identified. They'll hold an interim meeting on Tuesday to review the market, then make a final decision in a further 2 weeks. Frightening pullback. This is the wrong time to be increasing crude supply, Bob McNally, president of consultant Rapidan Energy Group and a former White House official, said in a Bloomberg television interview. They really almost have no choice now but to postpone. The demand pullback in Europe is frightening. While the vaccine progress relieves some of the pressure on the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, it won't provide a significant boost to demand until the second half of 2021 next year, according to the International Energy Agency in Paris. Economic fallout from the latest wave of lockdowns will linger, OPEC said in a report. The 23-nation alliance had intended to ease some of the unprecedented supply curbs introduced in May to offset the collapse in demand, restoring 2 million barrels a day of output at the start of next year. They made a similar increase over the summer as the global economy recovered and hoped that the trend would continue. But in recent weeks, OPEC Plus members have acknowledged those aspirations look unfeasible. Instead, the producers look set to keep about 7.7 million barrels a day, roughly 8% of global supply, offline for a little longer. Critical cut. Deferring the supply boost and thus supporting prices may be critical for OPEC plus nations, many of which need oil prices far above the current level of $43 a barrel in order to cover government spending. It would also throw a lifeline to the wider industry, from majors like ExxonMobil Corporation to independent companies in the U.S. shale patch. Saudi Arabian Energy Minister Prince Abdulaziz bin Salman said on November 9th, the producers can tweak this agreement as required. Algeria, which holds OPEC's rotating presidency, and Group Secretary General Mohamed Barkindo made similar remarks. Even Russia, usually reluctant to forgo oil sales, has signaled support. President Vladimir Putin said on October 22nd that delay was an option, and even gestured at the possibility of making deeper production cuts if necessary. Further curbs don't appear needed so far, delegates said. The lockdowns in Europe and what that will mean for demand will be very much on their mind, Daniel Jurgen, vice president at IHS Market, said in a Bloomberg television interview. The easiest thing for them to do, and as President Putin signaled, is to roll it over. While the Joint Ministerial Monitoring Committee that convenes on Tuesday won't set policy, Riyadh and Moscow may give some insight into their thinking before the main ministerial meetings on November 30th to December 1st. Supply headache. Faltering demand isn't the only headache for the alliance, which is also having to reckon with a surprising increase in supply from one of its own members. Libya, which is exempt from the agreement to restrain production, has revived output to the highest level in almost a year after a truce in its civil war. The North African nation tripled supply to 450,000 barrels a day last month and is now pumping above 1 million a day. The case for extending curbs, though persuasive, could still run into opposition. The United Arab Emirates, which has recently chafed at its OPEC commitments, emphasized on November 9th that consensus is necessary for the deal to be amended. "We have to be all convinced that tweak is required," Energy Minister Suhail al-Mazuri said. One flashpoint may be the millions of barrels of outstanding cuts still due from some members, which were supposed to be completed by the end of the year. OPEC plus nations that flouted their output quotas in the initial months of this agreement, such as Iraq and Nigeria, have been tasked with compensation cuts. After making some tentative efforts at these, Baghdad defiantly ramped exports back up last month. Iraq has often rebelled against OPEC-mandated supply limits as it rebuilds an oil industry and economy scarred by decades of conflict and sanctions. As Baghdad's finances come under acute stress, OPEC delegates doubt the country will make further efforts to atone. With Saudi Arabia's steely energy minister determined that all remaining debts are paid, the group may face a bumpy path to a final agreement.
Best practices in COVID treatment. Dear Dr. Roach, is there a difference between COVID-19 treatment in academia versus the real world? I had a telemedicine appointment the other day to see my internist, and he said to call right away if I developed symptoms consistent with COVID. He would order tests for me and start me right away on hydroxychloroquine, doxycycline, and zinc. I told him I was surprised that he would prescribe these, since everything I've read recently supports no benefit from hydroxychloroquine. Also, I thought doxycycline was not beneficial for viral infections. He said he uses it and it works. Your thoughts, please. B.R. Answer. All physicians are obligated to stay abreast of current standards of care for the practice of medicine. Unfortunately, physicians both in academia and in private practices do not always stay as current as they should. With COVID-19, it can be hard to keep abreast of all the changes and the sometimes conflicting data that comes from clinical trials and expert recommendations. Although it might be easier for academic physicians to do so, my observation is that some private practice docs are really up to date while a few academic docs are behind on the latest updates. Hydroxychloroquine appeared to show benefit in some early, uncontrolled studies, but the vast majority of the evidence, including the most reliable evidence from controlled trials, has shown no benefit and significant potential for harm for hydroxychloroquine, at least at the time of this writing. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, November 19th, 2020, etc. Family ties break down after Mom moves away. Dear Abby, since I moved 8 years ago, my son, Jim, has visited me only once, and that's because I gave his son my car. I rarely hear from him, and when I have visited, we barely talk. We have totally different ideas on life, and it has caused a rift in our relationship. When I have visited Jim and his wife, they just sit, watch movies, and eat takeout food, unless I take them out to eat and pay for the meal. Over the years, I have given my son money and housed him when he went through a terrible divorce. His children are grown now, and I don't hear from them either. He remarried a woman he met on the internet who has different ideas on things than my family and the way I was brought up. It hurts me very much. What's your opinion on what to do about this situation? I'm at a loss. Let Down in Idaho. Dear Let Down, it's sad, but the breakdown in your relationship with Jim started a long time ago. It should have been addressed then. It's not uncommon for adults to have ideas that differ from their parents, but it shouldn't cause a rift. If your son and his wife are hiding behind their television set rather than conversing, the situation may be as uncomfortable for them as it is for you. If the dynamics in your relationship are going to improve, you will have to convince them to discuss where things went off track. Agree to disagree on certain topics and talk about other things when you see them. From what you have written, it appears you are doing all the work in the relationship, and that isn't fair to you. Dear Abby, I'm a gay male who has fallen in love with my best friend, who is straight. After months of feeling dishonest in our friendship, I told him how I felt. At first, he seemed okay with it. He told me he couldn't reciprocate those feelings, but he still loved me as his friend and asked me not to make it weird. A month later, he said if I can't find a way to fall out of love with him, we could no longer be friends. I didn't change anything about my relationship with him. I maintained the status quo, and he seemed good with it. I don't know what to do. I am extremely sad because I don't want to lose my best friend. We had a great relationship, which is why I thought he would appreciate my honesty and we could work through the issue. What's your advice? Turned Down in Tennessee. Dear Turned Down, this person may be wonderful, but he could not handle the responsibility of a close personal relationship with someone who was in love with him if it wasn't reciprocal. My advice is to accept it and move on. You really have no alternative because the decision has already been made for you. You have my sympathy, but you will heal from this. I promise. Dear Abby, all my boyfriend wants to do is clean the house and make love to me. He also cooks for me, massages me, worships my body, insists that I take naps and makes me laugh nonstop. What's wrong with him? Pondering in the Sunshine State. Dear Pondering, what's wrong with you? This must be a new relationship. Give it time, and I am sure you will uncover something. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren, write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
J. Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label that astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Scorpio and a moon in Capricorn until 3:25 p.m., when the moon enters Aquarius. Happy birthday for Thursday, November 19, 2020. Powerful, rebellious, and constructive, you're a brilliant individual indeed. In 2021, you convince many with a successful creation of yours. You won't have to worry about money. You are up to date with everything. If single, you're highly sensuous and physical, so you have many dates, but no tomato until 2022. If attached, you love your relationship, until you don't. You hang through such a time now, but soon it's over. Scorpio doesn't mind. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 5 stars. A presentation before a group could inspire the confidence of business associates. Do research connected to career goals. The additional information can open a real window of opportunity. You want to advance at work. Tonight, new horizons beckon. Get excited. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 4 stars. Travel plans and opportunities are available. Your mental energy will be in top form. It's especially easy to assimilate new information, and you have much to express. But preserve the status quo at work. Tonight, a change made in haste now could lead to regret. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 2 stars. Your feelings will be very intense today. Add a note of humor if you sense you're coming across as overly opinionated. Be true to yourself, yet sensitive to the needs of companions. Observe others' facial expressions in order to maintain perspective. Tonight, relax. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 2 stars. Responsibility, commitment, and a reality check directly linked to marriage issues are certainty. A partner might need more encouragement and support from you. Patience is important, but be honest and let go if a situation just isn't working. Tonight, date night. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 3 stars. Plan for the future by establishing good habits. You can effectively work on your health today, making changes for the better. Conversations can be a little confusing. Insist upon clarity. When your concern for others lessens, you should experience an enhanced vitality. Tonight, emails. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. Love and appreciation for all that you do and are will be given freely today. This sets the stage for commitments and a cycle of meaningful creativity. You experience a burst of artistic energy. Tonight, a new project can be shared with one you love. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 3 stars. Today could find you dreaming of a residential move, and at the same time brings some wonderful opportunities to acquire a different dwelling. Shop for items you would especially like to have in your home. Tonight, your daydreaming continues. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 4 stars. Animal companions heal and comfort. Make certain that cherished critters are current on their shots and veterinary checkups. A new animal companion may join you. The love and advice of a neighbor or sibling can make a difference for the better. Tonight, up late. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 3 stars. Enthusiasm to add to your income is at an all-time peak. Be careful, however, not to overwork yourself. Peace of mind, rest, and wellness must not be sacrificed for material security. Control any irritation with others about money matters. Tonight, finding constructive solutions. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. You'll have tremendous energy and motivation today, but could be quick to anger. Focus on only constructive thoughts and actions, and the world will be at your feet. An aromatherapy or home remedy suggested by a friend could be a godsend. Tonight, celebrate yourself. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18, 4 stars. You're more introspective than usual today. Dream activity accelerates. Try keeping a journal as an aid in understanding your personal motivations. Solitary meditations and rituals will be quite effective. Tonight, an herbal soak followed by a good, long night's sleep. Pisces, February 19 through March 20, 5 stars. Friendships will offer many a new opportunity. Creative projects, including musical studies, will provide a catalyst in selecting long-term goals. It will be especially easy for you to read others psychically today. Tonight, experiment with aura gazing and telepathy. Born today, actress Allison Janney, 1959, actress Jodie Foster, 1962, choreographer Savion Glover, 1973.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.